Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Live from Jared Payton's flagship on the Fox in St. Charles, it's time for the Great Clips postgame show. Great Clips, it's going to be great. Presented by Sony Pictures Wonderverse Chicago and by TimberTech, Decking and Railing. Here are your hosts, Chicago football legend, Olin Krutz, long snapping Iron Man, Patrick Manley, and Mully from the Mully and Haw Show on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Always live on the free Odyssey app. Brought to you in part by Circa Sports Illinois. Sports betting the way it should be.
Welcome to the Great Clips postgame show presented by Sony Pictures Wonderverse Chicago and TimberTech Decking and Railing. And of course, we are at the flagship on the Fox in St. Charles, brought to you by Circus Sports Illinois. I'm David Haw in for Mully. We have Olin Krutz, we have Patrick Manley, and we have reaction to what was a brutal loss, 19-3 Patriots over the Bears at Soldier Field. When we thought last week maybe that was rock bottom for the season, the opportunity presented itself on the schedule. We thought the Patriots offered that, a chance to win a game. We called it must win in the pregame show. The Bears didn't show up. They have all kinds of numbers that show the futility, but I think first of all, there's a visceral reaction to what we just watched, or what should I say, what we just endured. Olin, I'll start with you. What did you think watching this? How did it happen, and where do they go from here?
Well, watching it as a former Bear, as a former player, it's not often when you do the radio show you feel like you don't want to come on and talk about the Chicago Bears, right? You feel it's not often that you're embarrassed to be associated with the organization that just put on that show they put on there at Soldier Field against what we called a lot of times in the pregame show the worst football team in the NFL. Right, to come out there and put that kind of performance on the field, on film. We talked about you'd be worried about them after you watch them against the Arizona Cardinal game. Can we all stop now? Can we all stop saying that it's not a problem when you question your coach after a Hail Mary? Can we all stop saying it's not a problem when you come out and say the offensive coordinator doesn't come up with the first 15? Can we all stop saying that it's not a problem when the wide receiver questions the coach's calls? There is a way that football works. You're either coaching it or you're allowing it. And right now in the Chicago Bears building, you are allowing this kind of performance on a football field. And it all starts with the people at the top. But we've been saying that, Pat, for too long at Halas Hall.
Yeah, and I hate to toot my own horn, but I did. I picked the Pats, right? I just had a bad feeling this morning.
I think I got a text or a tweet that said, call him soothsayer, Manley, after the game.
But what I'm saying there, everything Olin just summed up there, it's kind of what I felt this morning. I was worried about this team and what they were going to be today and what was going to show up. And what showed up was what I thought was going to happen. They can't deal with all this adversity. They have too many damn meetings. They talk too much. Mm-hmm. They're not taking care of business. Obviously, they have some injuries. But you can't use those injuries as an excuse against this Patriots team.
You can't, because they are who they are. The Patriots came in the worst team in the league. They left with a victory. So what does that make the Bears? You also have four backups on the offensive line besides Coleman Shelton, who is not exactly a guy that you consider a bona fide starter. He was brought here as a backup. The Bears give up 9 sacks. They now have gone 24 straight possessions without an offensive touchdown. Think about that. The last time they scored an offensive touchdown was against the Washington Commanders. DeAndre Swift, I think, with a 56-yard run. They have not. They're allergic to the end zone. And I think when you look at what do they do now, everybody wants results. I don't think the Bears historically have ever fired a coach, a head coach in season. But, Olin, when you talk about change, it's not just a visceral reaction. It's not an overreaction. This is the NFL. You lose three games in a row, that qualifies as a crisis. What do you think the Bears will do in response to that?
It's not players going to be meeting anymore, right? It's presidents and owners and general managers. And when you saw today, their offensive line, too, riddled by injuries, right? They have had more combinations than anybody else in the NFL playing offensive line. So this team, you shouldn't have went out there at home and looked like this versus this team. And to Pat's point, you were worried about them the way they constantly kept talking about the problems in their building. That's why we were saying earlier, it's all right to be quiet sometimes. It's all right to just go back to work. It's even today when you're watching, it's like, why does Caleb keep changing the play at the line of scrimmage? Just run the play that's called. Let's get up there. Let's run the play that's called. And then all of a sudden we see, I don't know how many times we talked about the offensive line plan for a young quarterback. We've talked about that. What if you get injuries? Now it overwhelms them all of a sudden because, Pat, they do have a bunch of injuries on the offensive line. And now you got 9 sacks, and some of them were the quarterback holding the ball, but very few. And it just doesn't look like they have a plan. It doesn't look like they have a direction. And if you are in that at Halas Hall right now today, after that loss, I don't know what you do. I really don't know what you do. I don't know how you get better. I guess you say get healthier, move on from coaches, move on from OCs, move on from head coaches. Then you just said, okay, all the people in charge have made all the wrong decisions for like 15 years now, right? How many times can you fire the same positions and keep pointing the fingers at the same guys? It'll be very interesting, David, what they do when they look at this result that they got today.
I think something has to change offensively. You have to do something. Listen to these numbers. Okay, the Commanders a couple weeks ago, they only had 15 points. They were 2 of 12 on third down. Against the Cardinals, they had 9 points. They were 3 of 14 on third down. Mm-hmm. Today, they had 3 points. They were 1 of 13 on third down. Those are historically bad numbers in an era now where it's set up for offenses, right? You're supposed to score points. And they only have 27 points in 3 games. Something has to change. You cannot keep running that offense, those play calls out there for those guys out there.
And
you
this
just
is
can't
against the easy part of
100%.
The schedule. Now you get into the teeth where you have the Packers and the way they get takeaways with, you know, one of the biggest ball hawks in the league. And you have the Vikings with Brian Flores. Good luck with that. Then you have, on Thanksgiving Day, Dan Campbell and the Detroit Lions. Thanks for nothing, because that is not a good matchup. You get into the schedule, into the division, and you are now, you squandered the opportunity to build up some capital, to build up some momentum. You now have a team that not only, it sounds absurd to talk about a playoff contender, a division contender, taking the North. Goodness sakes, what year? Not this year, not next year. This looks much more serious and severe. You have a defense that has probably suffered. They have some injuries, but you have an offense that can't do anything because they can't protect the quarterback and they can't establish the run.
They can't, even when TJ Edwards gets a free takeaway from Drake May, we still can't put the ball in the end zone, and actually we take a sack and take ourselves out of field goal range. The offense is completely broken, and we talked about in the pregame show what Pete Carroll said about Shane Waldron last year in mid-November. We talked about that. He talked about how they had to use the unique talents they had on the Seahawks offense at wide receiver. Does that sound familiar to you, right? So now I think about it, I go back and say, okay, well, who's in charge of Halas Hall? Well, it's Ryan Poles. Why did they say they fired Luke Getsy, who just got fired again? Because he didn't change his game plans. He couldn't adjust, right? That's the same thing Pete Carroll said about Shane Waldron last year in Seattle. So all I'm saying is the people doing the hiring, they have to answer for – this would be Coach Eberflus' third offensive coordinator.
I don't think he's going to be given a chance to hire a third offensive coordinator.
No. I mean, if they change that position right now.
Yes, if they did right now. If they do that right now, it would be to somebody who's on the staff. Thomas Brown.
I think you have
Chris Morgan.
I just what we've seen the last 3 weeks, it's just inexcusable. And we talk about – going into the season, what was Caleb Williams going to look like? What was his progress going to look like? And it looked pretty good for 3 weeks. There was a point we were thinking they were going to be 7-2 going into this game next week. Now they're sitting at 4-5, and this offense is broken, and Caleb looks bad.
It just
Caleb is playing poorly.
you are wearing the same kind of sweatshirt that the Bears coaching staff was wearing on the sidelines. And Olin complimented the Bears coaches for their apparel today. Could you sneak in one of those meetings and maybe share with them some of your thoughts?
If we were closer, I would like to try to.
And to Manley's point, right, against the Jaguars, they look really good. Mm-hmm. Right, against the Commanders, in the fourth quarter, they take the lead late. And then that Hail Mary, and then there's just a meltdown after that. Because all of a sudden, everyone comes out and questions the coaching staff. Right, it seemed like the players were running the building, right? Which is fine to get input from everybody, but it just seemed like everybody was talking too much about it.
But when that happens, though, how real is it if the players who were voicing their opinions lose confidence in the coaching staff? Today, that was what
we saw in Arizona.
Yep.
And that's why I was worried, right? Because I didn't see that when I watched the Commanders game. Mm-hmm. But when I watched the Arizona film, and Pat, like we like to talk about a lot of times, people lie to you. The film doesn't. Mm-hmm. Right? So I didn't – after what happened in Washington, you're pissed about the Hail Mary. But when I turned the film on, I thought, okay, man, like this is not too bad. But the noise worried you. The noise around the team, everybody talking so much, worried you. And then the Cardinals film, we talked about in the pregame, how much you were worried. You actually thought, man, if they do that again, they could lose this game. Because mm-hmm. they got blown out in Arizona. And we're sitting there first in the second quarter, and we looked at each other and said, they could get blown out today.
Yep.
Which they did. They did just by watching that game. You thought, okay, they may not score again. And if the Patriots put two more scores up, this is another blowout. You just lost to what a lot of people said is the worst team in the NFL at home by a pretty darn good margin. And that is Billings is out. Montez is hurt. Your two tackles are out. But the Patriots would argue half of their team is out also.
Yeah, they're missing a bunch of starters. Yeah. And the thing I want to go back and watch now when we get the tape is the body language. You know, you talk about are the guys quitting on the team, and you say the tape doesn't lie. You can talk about how their play and then also their body language after play. Are they getting up? Are they hustling? What are they looking like on the sideline? I'm not sure what I saw today, but I'm looking forward to seeing that.
I think you saw when they came out after halftime, DJ Moore caught a pass that was obviously drawn up in the locker room. We need to get him the ball. This is what you run. This is what you do. He unleashed some frustration that you felt like had been building up for how many weeks or how many series because they have now gone 24 without scoring a touchdown. And I wonder if that's the kind of thing you're talking about. This has got to be a frustrated team. And now that they lost their third in a row, I don't know how that's going to manifest itself publicly and openly.
Yeah, but that's what we were talking about in the pregame, that when someone like DJ Moore has a problem, when someone like DJ Moore is sounding the alarm, you may not like his message, but he's saying to you there's a problem. There's a problem here, and we don't like the direction this is going. Now, I don't like taking it to the media, but I don't really know what's going on in that building. And it looks like there's not a lot good going on in that building. There's not a lot of good. Players don't believe anymore in what the coaches are preaching. And, Pat, we've all been a part of teams like that. It's hard to get it back. There was a couple times today I found interesting when guys were running off the sideline, there wasn't a lot of handshaking.
Yep, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, there wasn't a lot of energy on the sideline. Like after kickoffs, everybody was just walking to the sideline. Mm-hmm. Right, it just looks to me like this team right now, they're not all in to playing this game. And you hate to say that about an NFL football team, but when you watch that game they just played, when you watch the game they played last week, ever since that Hail Mary, it has not been good.
Yeah, the other things you need to watch too is a guy running over their teammate to help him up off the ground. Mm-hmm. You know, that's kind of when you don't see guys doing that like they normally do when you're winning and things are going well, that's when you can tell a team has quit. They've just kind of quit on their teammate. They're just really worried about themselves. They're not worried about the big picture and everything else. That's a telling factor, and that's something to watch when you watch games.
I think it's
from
really
now on out with the Bears.
Hard to know what to think about Caleb Williams because it's easy to look at the numbers, and we'll talk about those in a moment. But when you have the lack of protection that he has on a consistent basis, you worry about bad habits. You worry about a lot of different things. 9 sacks today. His numbers, they stunk. 16 of 30, 120 yards. Wasn't threatening anybody down the field. And you look at where we were coming into the season. There was a lot of hope invested in Caleb Williams. Maybe it was hype more than hope. But whatever the case, you thought that they had receivers. Remember the argument, does the best trio in the NFL work in Chicago? Well, you look at the money invested. Keenan Allen's making $23 million. DJ Moore has a $110 million contract. Roma Dunze had a $13 million signing bonus. Those guys are not threatening anybody down the field. And then, oh, by the way, Cole Kmet, the $50 million tight end, he finally got targeted today. I thought the place was going to erupt here with enthusiasm because they finally found him. So where are we with Caleb Williams in terms of responsibility and expectations?
We want to be clear on what we saw today, because when we went into this game, he wasn't going against Patrick Mahomes. Caleb wasn't, right? He wasn't going against a veteran quarterback. He wasn't going against Jared Goff. He wasn't going against the Detroit Lions, right? We thought that he was going against another rookie quarterback with a struggling offensive line.
Right.
Right? So it was a pretty even matchup. And then we thought that their biggest advantage was the coaching staff. We thought our Chicago Bears coaching staff versus the Patriots coaching staff was an advantage. But the Patriots proved us wrong all day long. All day long. So if you're not worried about where Caleb is after the game you just watched against the competition he just played against, right? This wasn't a good football team by any means, right? This wasn't a ferocious pass rush. They almost matched their pass rush sack total today. They almost matched it in one day. That's what you're worried about when you come away from this game. Why did we get out coached so bad, and why did their rookie quarterback, with just as bad as an offensive line, with just as questionable as a play caller, look better than our rookie quarterback
against a better defense
on the road?
Yeah, against a better defense, right? I'm getting really worried about Caleb now. Is it that he's regressing him personally, or is it the coaching staff, the injuries in front of him? Is he nervous with the old line in front of him? What is it? And it just does not look good. He was inaccurate.
That's a slippery slope, though, you wonder if it's all related. Performance
Man,
has affected the confidence.
We are all on a slippery slope right now after watching that game.
Yes, we are all on a slippery slope. But I just wonder, what direction do they go? What can they do to try to help him improve and maybe regain some of that confidence? Because you'd want victories. I don't know if they're going to come. You want success in touchdowns. They haven't scored one in two games. You'd have a lot of things that you want and need that I don't know how you produce, especially if you don't make any changes with your coaching staff, with your play calling, and with your approach.
Okay, I'll say, one, it's easy. Protect better, which is probably not going to happen because they have injuries, right? But then you just named all those receivers. And then Moose Johnson mentioned it. They're not getting open. There's a lot of times they are not open. When they're in man-to-man or whatever, they're just not open. You pay them that much money, they should win those matchups. And they're not doing that. And that to me is part of the problem. It's everybody included. And how much is this hurting Caleb? Because it looked darn good for those three games in the middle
of
the
season.
It
really did. And
I was excited, but now it's all regret. We're going down that slippery slope. And it doesn't look good. And is that causing him to be inaccurate? Is that causing his feet and his timing and all that stuff to just get out of whack?
312-644-6767. We know you have opinions. We know you have reactions. We kind of think we know what you're going to be asking for. It's going to be a familiar refrain, but let us know. We are here for you. We're going to be here for a couple hours after this loss. 19-3, Bears lose to the Patriots at home at Soldier Field. The boos were loud, and I understand that, and they came early, and they were heard often. I don't know if I can blame anybody for any reaction or any overreaction to what they saw today. When you look at the last couple years, does this loss feel unfortunately, we have many to compare to. Does this loss feel like rock bottom?
It feels pretty close to it for where this team was thought to be headed, right? And we thought we were turning a corner with a franchise that hasn't won a playoff game again since me and Pat were on the field, which is now a very, very long time
ago. We're old
now. Remember, though, going into this game, what the biggest problem of what you watched today was, the Bears' run defense is a question for them. But don't worry about it. It's only against good run teams, right? The Bears' pass blocking is a question for them. But don't worry about it. These guys can't rush the passer. Right? Remember, that's what we said going into this game. Mm-hmm. So how bad are the Chicago Bears as we sit here now? Because those are the questions we asked. And every answer we got was, but they're the worst team in the league.
Right, right.
When you lose Billings, it's that big of a loss. Mm-hmm. Right? When you lose a Darnell Wright, when you lose Braxton Jones, and you don't put assets into your offensive line, and you keep drafting cornerbacks, and you draft another wide receiver instead of an offensive lineman, and you draft Velus Jones instead of an offensive lineman in the third round, and you don't pick up offensive lineman, you don't sign off better offensive lineman. When you sign offensive lineman, they get hurt. You have a problem. And that particular problem sits at the general manager's doorstep.
No doubt 100%. About it.
And Olin, when you put the Patriots on to watch the games, I went back three or four games to watch, I'm like, they're terrible. We can't be this bad. We can't. But then I said the outside noise and all that stuff just felt like it was snowballing a little bit. And it did. And now we are that bad. You lost to arguably the worst team in the NFL.
Remember what your score was. 19-16. You had the Bears losing by three.
I know.
They lost 19-3.
You gave them too much credit.
I know.
Yeah.
And that offense with all that talent.
Yep.
Are the Bears – the biggest debate after this game is, are the Bears –
they won the takeaway battle.
A bad
Again,
team.
Again, that's two games in a row.
Yeah.
Are the Bears a bad team that lost to the worst team in the NFL, or the worst team in the NFL that lost to a bad team? That's where you are with this team. At this
We're going to find out how bad they lose these next 3 weeks.
Because after the two games, the three games we watched, they got blown out by Arizona's not a great team. The Patriots are a bad team. They lost to the Hail Mary in Washington. The question is, is their roster as talented as we think it is?
Hmm.
Is their coaching staff? Keep saying Coach Eberflus is elite. Maybe not, right?
After what you just watched, you're allowed to question everything.
Right? They told us.
I do.
Don't worry about us talking. We can talk. It's the way players are nowadays. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's time to shut up.
It is.
It's time to shut up.
And when we talk about
maybe
DJ
Moore's not calling you tomorrow morning.
Oh, I don't. He'll be there 7:59. He'll be on the phone.
No, the way he caught that ball in Fox.
He's a consummate pro.
That's right.
He'll face the music if he doesn't.
Maybe they should start listening to him. Maybe we should all start listening to what he says.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Maybe he's trying to tell us something.
Yep.
The next level of conversation, the next, I think, intense scrutiny will come for Ryan Poles. I do think that's the way it works. You guys know it. You've been around long enough. You look at the players, if they fall short, yes, it's easy to criticize. You look at the coaching and the play calling, that's a tradition in Chicago unlike any other. Pretty soon, though, when you're this bad at this stage and you weren't expected to be, you start to look at how the roster was put together, prioritizing things like or not prioritizing the offensive line. Olin, you've been on it from the very beginning. I know you guys are consistent with this, but it's going to get louder and it's going to be a lot more people agreeing.
And Poles praised the depth on this offensive line at the beginning of the year. We're not talking about the overall talent. He said, this is the best depth we've ever had. Well, now it's being challenged and it's terrible. It's not very good. So that's another knock on him.
But both sides, right? Both sides of the ball on their lines are challenged right now. Right, they lost some guys, and when you talk about their depth, you talk about developing young players. What young players have they had a chance to draft and develop on their offensive line? They really haven't. They've moved on. Mm-hmm. They've moved on to veteran free agents, right? They've signed guys and brought them in. They lost Billings. You drafted Pickens early. You got to get him back healthy and get him back going, but not a good game today.
Nope.
Right, not a good game the last couple games. Teams are running the ball right at this defense where you have high draft picks, where you have guys you've given a lot of money to and two linebackers a lot of money also. It's just very frustrating to watch this team. We got to keep saying this. After that Hail Mary, to collapse like this.
Mm-hmm.
The way they've collapsed, the way their film has changed after the Hail Mary. I'm just talking about the film. I'm not talking about what they talk about. I'm not talking about anything else. I'm talking about the players' performance, what they've looked like since that Hail Mary, since they questioned each other, since they went after people. What does it look like? I don't think the leadership has failed at the top. I don't think the coaching leadership has failed. I think the leadership has failed them across the board on the team.
Mm-hmm.
I think the eight captains failed them. I think the coaching staff failed them. I think the general manager failed them in these last 3 weeks. Now, can those leaders pick them back up?
And if one play derailed your entire season, how tight is that structure? How fragile are you if you are letting one play, as catastrophic as it was? And look, the ball's in the Hall of Fame for a reason. That was a play that you don't see every day or every season. So as the Commanders lose the game or get jumped off and get about to lose 28-27 to the Steelers on the same field where the Bears lost, I do wonder all of this culture that they embrace and we talk about, how good was it if they're letting one play ruin everything else?
That's a knock on Eberflus. To me, that's a knock on Eberflus. Again, the Fire Eberflus book, that's another page in there. If you're going to fall apart from one play like that and allow everybody to start talking and pointing fingers, your culture's not that good. And they've been praising this culture thing, but that's your culture's not that good if you let one play like that lead to these next losses like the way they've lost.
Okay, that's our reaction. What is yours? 312-644-6767. Call or text. We are at the flagship on the Fox in St. Charles today, having a great time watching the game. The food here is tremendous. People are rowdy.
I can't believe they're cheering.
I can't believe they're cheering you, Pat, because you got their prediction right. This is the Great Clips post-game show presented by Sony Pictures, Wonderverse Chicago, and TimberTech Decking and Railing. We come back. It's your reaction and calls on Chicago Sports Radio.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Video 670, The Score.
I woke up with a feeling this morning and it wasn't good. And I'm going to do it. I'm going to go against the Bears here. It's just been ugly all week, the past couple weeks. And I'm not saying the Patriots are any good, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to flip Dan Pompey's score. I have the Bears losing 19-16. I hope I'm wrong.
Wow.
But it's more of a feeling than anything.
Live from Jared Payton's flagship on the Fox and St. Charles, we're back with more of the Great Clips postgame show. Great Clips, it's going to be great. Presented by Sony Pictures Wonderverse Chicago on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Always live on the free Odyssey app. Brought to you in part by Circa Sports Illinois. Sports betting the way it should be.
We are in the midst of greatness, people. Patrick Manley picked the
hold
Patriots
on now.
To beat the Bears.
We had the same record in picks.
Okay.
We had the same
all
record
right.
here. We had the
same just
he,
today.
Hold on now.
He
we had the same
this
record.
Give me
some credit today, man.
All right,
you all looked at me like I was crazy. You were mad.
I still have the better record in picks, is all I'm saying.
I did not know.
That's all I'm saying.
That's right. He does.
When
he
you
does.
Picked the Patriots to beat the Bears.
I should get like three wins for that.
I wondered if you were truly a dookie.
I almost fell off my chair.
But
I was right.
You were right.
I was right. I just had a feeling, like I said before the break, that it just everything felt like it was not corrected at Hallis Hall. That it just like it was getting worse.
And 3 hours later, still uncorrected at Hallis
yes.
Hall. 19-3, full-fledged crisis. The Bears lose their third straight. Welcome to the Great Clips postgame show presented by Sony Pictures, Wonderverse, Chicago, and TimberTech Decking and Railing. We want to hear your reaction. 312-644-6767. We'll be here until 5 o'clock, taking your reaction, giving you our opinions, and dealing with the audience here, which has stuck around, and we're glad they did because it's a pretty fun atmosphere here at Flagship on the Fox in St. Charles. Let's start the conversation or continue it with Steven, who was at the game, can tell us how loud the Boo Birds were. Steven, welcome to The Score.
Hey, guys. How you doing? This was the very first time I attended the Bears game, and this was not a good game. I thought that the Bears would have at least shown something. I know that the hangover of the Washington Hail Mary game was real, and that's understandable, but I never thought that the game would turn into such a total disaster from start to finish. You know, offensively, you know, Shane Waldron, you're done. I saw him smiling at the sideline with Caleb, like sitting as far as away as possible, which was kind of like an emblematic of what the game was today. And, you know, at this point, I just don't know what Matt Eberflus is going to do to, you know, to save himself, because the defense looked completely listless. I mean, the stadium was just full of booze. It was windy. It was just an atmosphere that was any other, you know, sporting event that I've ever been to. And, you know, Warren and Poles, listen, they really, really have to have a serious conversation amongst each other. And something has to change, because you don't let your franchise quarterback finish the game and take 9 sacks, including the last 2 ones meaningless, and then get him killed. So I think the Eberflus is a lack of awareness.
Thanks, Steven. Appreciate the phone call. Those were winds of change at Soldier Field.
Yeah, they were.
Randy, as windy as it was. But he does make a good point about Caleb Williams. Sacked 9 times. Olin, before the game, you referenced the Jay Cutler game when he was sacked 9 times at the Meadowlands. I remember that well, when he was walking off to the opposite sideline because he had his bell rung so much. Mm-hmm. That was the last time a Bears quarterback was sacked 9 times. Mm-hmm. Those two games have more in common than you would want them to.
Yeah. Well, it's just, he talked about the hangover, the Hail Mary hangover, and that, it, to me, is something to look at with this team, because they beat the Rams, they scored 24. They beat the Panthers, they scored 36. They beat the Jaguars, they scored 35. And we all said, well, those are really bad football teams. Mm-hmm. Well, so was this.
Right.
Right. So was this a really bad football team? Well, like, what? And I understand the injuries, but what? How have we regressed so much that we can't get the ball to guys named DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, Cole Kmet, Swift, and Rome Odunze? Right? Like, I just don't understand, when you turn that film on, what changed so much since that Hail Mary? It's something that they have to take a good look at up there at Hallis Hall. What has actually gone on?
What happened during the bye week, too?
Right.
What happened during the bye week before that?
Because
it seemed as if there was all kinds of momentum. Those 2 weeks were the best 2 weeks of the Bears season. Mm-hmm. We were able to examine how right we were about a team that seemed to be on the rise and headed in the right direction. And then they didn't play on a Sunday. They come back to work, and they lost all the mojo. Mm-hmm. I don't know how that happens in an NFL season.
It's not good. And then Steven brought up the name Kevin Warren. And Olin, you talked earlier, it's been the same way, the same old story for the last 20 years, right? Well, Kevin's the new blood there.
Hmm.
Kevin is a new figurehead in that building. He's got to be feeling this, right? So what is he saying to Ryan Poles and George McCaskey or whoever else? Is like, this isn't right. This is not a winning culture. This is not a winning team. Or is he? Or is he not? I don't know. But that's the person I'm looking at now, with the way this season has turned to, or has turned in, what it has turned into. I just wonder what kind of decision he can make or influence he has on this team.
Let's go back to the phone lines. Bill is on the northwest side. Bill, welcome to The Score. How are you?
I'm pissed off. That's how I'm doing. I mean, what we saw today was a disgrace. I'm very happy, and I want to disagree with Olin 100%. I am glad the Bears players came out and said that the coaches were incompetent. I mean, for Matt Eberflus to come back after the Washington game and say that the second play before, that the play before the Hail Mary had nothing to do with them losing, is BS. That's number one. Okay? And then come out today again against the team and get slaughtered at home. Now you're facing the Packers, Minnesota, and Detroit back-to-back weeks. And you expect this, and tomorrow morning he's going to go and meet the Bears media, and he's going to say, we had a meeting, and everything is great, and we're all on the same page. Well, what page are they on? He's full of crap. He should be fired right this minute. And what he did to Caleb Williams again today, under 2 minutes, losing by 16 points, and he's getting the crap kicked out of him. And he leaves him in the game to get his head bashed in. I hope Caleb Williams' father tonight, I hope he tweets something so bad that it gets Matt Eberflus fired.
Thanks, Bill. Appreciate the phone call and the passion.
I think that's everybody in Chicago right
now.
Yeah, I think it's everybody.
I mean, 99%
every
of Chicago.
You feel Bill's pain, right? And everybody's talking about the offensive line. I'm watching the Eagles at center's Cam Jurgens. And we all hope Brisker gets better, but the Bears take a safety instead of a center. He's the number one center in the draft.
Yep.
Right? So it's just, the frustration is real. To Bill's point, I would argue with him that you can't have both. You can't be mad at a team that melts down and then not be mad about the reason that they melted down.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's proven that if you talk about your coach, you come out of the locker room, and everybody kept trying to tell us, well, it's different nowadays. It's a different kind of player. This is a different time nowadays. Everyone talks differently. Well, the meltdown is real now.
We will hear Matt Eberflus in his own words after he gets done talking to reporters at Soldier Field. But so far we hear him, quote, "I take full responsibility for what? Everything. When asked if a changing an offensive play caller is an option, quote, we're looking at everything. Looking inward at myself first, and that's what I asked the players to do and the coaches." So he didn't rule it out. Mm-hmm. Sounded more open than before. I think this is a different sense of urgency than he faced last time he considered this or maybe pondered it publicly. But I think that they've got to address this in some way that is not only satisfactory to the masses who are calling for change, but also internally, you know that things are uneasy.
I think Olin and I talked about this before, too. Matt Eberflus is a defensive coach. He knows these offensive game plans that Shane Waldron's putting together. He's sitting there, how would I defend this? And he has to be like, that's a terrible offensive game plan. I was wondering, I thought maybe last week they would make a change just because of the 2 weeks prior. After this one, I wonder if this was the final straw. You know what I mean? You go out there and you kind of fix this stuff. We've given you all these toys to play with on the outside and a generational, you know, quarterback, and this is all you can do? I just don't know how you can stand up there and say that's still my offensive coordinator.
To your point about Kevin Warren, this is where I think it is relevant. If he can be consistent in terms of his decision-making process. The process includes him being true to everything that he has said, the lofty rhetoric that he brought to Hallis Hall. If things are different, then they won't cling to this age-old tradition of never having made a change at the head coaching position in season. That won't be a factor. It'll be something we talk about a lot in the next week or so, but it shouldn't be a factor if Kevin Warren is going to back up his big talk with real action or if he really means it.
Has he been anywhere before that they've made an in-coaching change?
Minnesota? I'd have to look at that.
Yeah,
I don't
like
know
to
off the top of my head. Can you think of any
of
Vikings coaches that were fired in season? I don't
believe. Mike Tyson was fired in season, wasn't he? Or did he take Denny Green's job in season?
Possibly.
One or two.
Yeah, it might have been.
One or two.
But was Kevin there then? Because I don't know. He's bounced around. But that's just another thing. Maybe he's gone through this and it's been successful. I would like to see that. Maybe he knows how to do it and says, yes, this is the right thing to do. But I just think he'll have a voice.
It's crazy that after those three wins and that close loss to the Commanders, after 2 weeks, this is where we are.
Yes.
This is where we are because it sure looked like for 3 to 4 weeks, the offense was moving in the right direction. Even after they looked bad against the Commanders, you said, yeah, but when it was time to be special, Caleb was special. And the defense really is what let them down at the end of the Commanders game, even though the score was close. They took the lead late. The offense moved down the field twice. They did have that fumble. There's been bad calls, you know, the Colts, the option versus the Colts, the handoff to Doug Kramer. But the meltdown on the offense since that game, what they look like for two games against the Cardinals, what they look like today against a really bad Patriots team, has everyone questioning what direction this Hallis Hall, these Chicago Bears are moving in.
The hit of the game, sponsored by S-Wing Professional Tools, made in the USA for 100 years. S-Wing.com, the hit of the game is a mishit. The 19-yard punt by Torrey Taylor, that could not have been on purpose. The wind could have played a factor, but I can't imagine the young man, the fourth-round draft pick, by the way, has ever had a punt go any
Hopefully
shorter.
That's his shortest one ever in his career.
Had
and I
be,
wonder
right?
if the pressure up the middle got him as well. I don't know, but that was pretty
bad. You would notice
bad.
Such things, but I don't
There
didn't,
was
I don't
pressure. I just
that.
Couldn't tell if he had to pull his foot back at all.
Let's squeeze in another phone call before we take a break. Nick is in Joliet. Nick, welcome to the score.
Hey, buddy. The last caller, that's the fan. That's how all Bears fans are feeling. There should be a meeting today with Kevin Warren and Ryan Poles without the McCaskies, and they need to say, I was brought in here to be the president. I was brought in here to be a GM. We're here for the fans. We're here for the team. Matt Eberflus should not have been able to take the podium today. He should have been walked out of Soldier Field immediately. This is on him. This is on the coaching staff. I don't want to hear it. You have too much talent on this team for them to start tanking or to believe any different. But starting today, I don't care if they put anyone. Ron Rivera comes in to be our head coach interim. They need somebody to come in there and get rid of these Bears coaches immediately. You're going to ruin a franchise quarterback. You're going to ruin this team altogether. You brought Keenan Allen in here to win. You didn't bring these guys in here on an extension. You brought them here on a one-year deal and a trade. Get these guys out there to win football games. The Bears fans are pissed. We're done.
Nick, thanks for the phone call. A lot of passion out there. 312-644-6767. Let us know what you think. We'll be here till 5 o'clock to talk you off the ledge or let you vent or whatever you want. But I'd also like to thank a release
pizza. Just don't jump.
Just don't jump.
Just don't jump.
Don't
off
jump.
The ledge. Just,
no,
just,
we're
you
talking
can go over
off
look
the
at
ledge.
It. You can look
not
over the ledge.
Onto
just
a Patrick.
Jump. Yes, yes.
Thank you to Aurelio's Pizza for delivering some delicious food for today's game. Download the Aurelio's app and start earning rewards. Visit aureliospizza.com to order from the location nearest you. Aurelio's Pizza, celebrating 65 years. It is the sauce. When we come back, maybe we'll hear from Matt Eberflus soon. Caleb Williams will also go meet with the Bears media from the podium at Soldier Field after the 19-3 loss to the New England Patriots on the lakefront. You're listening to the Great Cliffs Postgame Show presented by Sony Pictures, Wonderverse Chicago, and TimberTech Decking and Railing. We'll be back after this on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Second and 16, 90 seconds to play in this one.
Ready, set.
Williams, pressure again, and 9 sacks. Number 99 gets number 9 for New England.
Welcome back to the Great Clips Postgame Show presented by Sony Pictures, Wonderverse Chicago, and TimberTech Decking and Railing. I'm David Hall in for Molly, Patrick Manley, Olin Kreutz here after the Bears' disappointing 19-3 loss to the New England Patriots. That was sack number 9. The Bears haven't given up 9 sacks since 2010 game in the Meadowlands against the Giants, who were much better than this Patriots team. Jay Cutler was so knocked silly that night where he walked to the wrong sideline. That was a long time ago. Some things don't change. That was a very good team. This isn't. And I think now you wonder where they go from here. We will hear from Matt Eberflus at the top of the hour, guys. We'll get back to the phone lines. But when you hear the rhetoric coming out, when you hear Matt Eberflus say the things, taking responsibility, understanding the booze, are you thinking that he is open to change more so than before, or do you think this is going to be status quo?
I do. I think you just have to. And we talked off the air during the break there that that's the first time I think I've heard Eberflus kind of say exactly what needed to be said. You know, you don't want to say it in that moment because it's a loss and all that kind of stuff, but he took full responsibility for it. I do think everything is on, you know, in the open right now. It's that bad. I really think it's that bad.
Olin, we have a text that would like to know if you're going to pull a Jeff Saturday and coach the Bears the rest of the season.
Well, let's go.
It's hard to be back to square one. By that, I mean it's hard to be back here again after so many years of talking about this, right? And there was so much hope with the Kevin Warren hiring, Ryan Poles having a number one pick, picking Caleb Williams, the defense looking at like they could be a top five unit. It's hard to go back again and to find storylines to try to look at what Kevin Warren said at his introductory press conference, right? What did he say about, I want to talk about winning championships. I want to make that okay again. I want to hold people accountable. Ryan Poles is in charge of all football decisions. So it's just going to be, it just really is an interesting time right now up there at Halas Hall because, like I said, when you're in charge, you have to take a macro look at everything that's going on. And a micro look is the Hail Mary and the last two games. Mm-hmm. Macro is before that, it was pretty damn good, mm-hmm. right? But this does not feel like the team's in a good direction. And I will say again, Pat, like you talked about, it's the feeling you get when you just hear things coming out mm-hmm. of Halas Hall, mm-hmm. right? And then the injuries were to the guys they couldn't have injuries to.
Yes.
They were to the guys, when you talked about this team and looked at the roster, and you said, pick me the 3 or 4 guys they could not lose, they lost them.
312-644-6767. Let's go back to the phone lines. Al is on the south side. Al, welcome to the Score.
Man, thank you, guys. First of all, I'm going to make this quick, straight to the point. I heard Olin earlier, and respect you, love you, Olin, absolute legend. I just have to disagree with this Bears notion starting in Washington. You can get 2 turnovers. You give the offense the ball. They give you 12 points, and yes, they have a blunder at the end of the game. But the defense can only do so much when your offense can't even score the ball in 3 games. Second point, we were sold a dream on Caleb. He holds the ball like Justin. Deep routes are terrible. Deep throws are terrible. And the inaccuracy is just it's mind-boggling. But I don't blame him. I don't blame him for all of this. And sometimes I do wish we did have these naggy curls. I do want to bring that back with this offense. Lastly, I'll just make this point. This offense is worse than the last year's terrible OC, bad QB, terrible line, and less weapon offense. thank you guys. Love you. Bear down. But we need some alcohol after this one.
Yes, we got you beat.
Thanks, Al. Appreciate the phone call. Patrick Manley of Long Snapper IPA is all over that.
Yes.
It runs
yes.
in my veins.
Yeah, no kidding. Let's go back to the phone.
The Bears are scoring as many points as commercials I get on this radio station.
That's zero.
Chris is in Champaign. Chris, welcome to the score. Chris, welcome to the score. No more Chris. Okay. 312-644-6767.
To Al's point, though, and he makes a good point. The offense didn't score a lot in that game against the Commanders. They were averaging 30 points a game against the Rams, the Panthers, and the Jaguars. Mm-hmm. And there is where you're bothered by this game. Because this Patriots team is those teams. That's why you thought, we talked to everybody, we said, okay, they can't stop the run. Well, these guys can't run the ball. Well, they can't protect the passer. Well, these guys can't rush the passer. Well, it proved us wrong.
And why is Caleb holding the ball? Right. He is holding the ball.
Indecisive lack of confidence.
Yes.
Because he has lost his confidence. That's the kind of thing you look at when you have a quarterback who's been sacked as much as he's been sacked. He gets skittish. He doesn't believe or trust in everything that's happening in terms of the scheme, the operation, and so you have a supremely confident young man who came in here as, isn't he mature beyond his years. The defenses they have faced have beaten that out of him, it seems. He is forming some bad habits, or at least not believing in himself, not throwing the ball with conviction, and he's holding on to it too long, creating more sacks.
Yeah, and he's just not seeing the field the same way he did during that three-game win streak. Mm-hmm. You put on the film, there's guys open underneath. We talked in the pregame. He's not taking the cheese. He's not taking the easy throw. He's forcing it, and then maybe if he's forcing it, he's holding it.
All the cheese smells. It's bad. It's really bad.
Especially up north.
Definitely. And it's going to get even stinkier this week. The Packers coming to town.
Yep.
That's going to be something. That's why this one is so hard to take and what this three-game losing streak represents. This is the easy part of the schedule, and the Bears have fallen off the cliff. Mm-hmm. That's the problem here.
I do think, though, that we should talk about, Pat, explain a little bit about what NFL players do go through when you go through a hot period in your career and you put on film what you like to do.
Yeah.
Because I think that's important to explain, because this just may be part of, hopefully, we're watching part of the process. The problem is I don't know how bad the team has looked under this coaching staff.
It's a great point. We want to get to that. But when we come back, we are going to hear from Matt Eberflus, who had plenty to say after this debacle at Soldier Field. You're listening to the Great Clips Postgame Show, presented by Sony Pictures, Wonder vs. Chicago, and TimberTech Decking and Railing. We'll be back after this at Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.